Okay, you ready? Draw breath. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 songs. As someone said, I'm not going tonight to sing 8 songs. But you're here. And actually, you've only got to sing 7 because one of them is on video. And we can start with that. So we're going to sing tonight. And it's Easter Praise. Thank you for those of you who've asked for particular songs and hymns. It's great to be able to sing them and learn at least one new one. If any of you have come with prepared to share a word of encouragement, a word of testimony tonight, that would be lovely. We will, God willing, have some space for that. We'll have time to pray together as well. And we'll, yeah, that's where we are. So let's pray and then get the music team up. No, we won't. We'll, actually, yes, we will if we can. So you can stand here for the first song, then you're ready to go in the middle. Is that okay, guys? Yeah. Let's pray first of all. Father, thank you for Easter. Thank you for a wonderful weekend. It's been busy. We're tired. Some of us at least are tired. But it's good to come together to praise you tonight, to celebrate all that you are in our songs and our hymns. And we pray that those that we sing tonight will come from our hearts and will be pleasing to you. Speak to us through the truth that we're singing. And glorify yourself. Draw us nearer to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am going to ask the music team, if you'll come up here, and we're going to watch. The first song tonight is a request from Tracy, and she asked if we could watch a song called Behold Him by her Jess, our Jess. And I just thought this is a lovely song to lead us into worship tonight. And then when we've done this one, yeah, she's now coming in right on cue. Look at this. We won't embarrass her or anything. Hello, Tracy. We've just announced your song tonight. And then, guys, if you just get ready to go into Revelation song after that, and then we're going to sing Oh Praise the Name. So a block of three. The first one on video, Revelation song, and then Oh Praise the Name. Let's just enjoy this song to get us into our worship tonight.
Show. song, to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song. It's on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Before creation has been praised. His hands, his feet, my Savior of
It's just lovely to stand and be part of a people praising God together. You couldn't see, I just stood here. I got my eyes closed. I was just listening. Wonderful. Thank you for blessing us so much. I'm just going to root this, what we're doing tonight, in a little Bible devotion. It's always good, isn't it, to just make sure we don't just go off into, you know, songs that can make us feel emotional, or make us, you know, kind of lift us in places. It's good to keep and make sure that we're rooted in what we're doing in Scripture. So just for a few minutes, going to go into Romans chapter 4 tonight and read a few verses in here from verse 18. Listen to this. You don't have to follow along, and I don't think that Martin's got it on the screen. But Romans chapter 4, verse 18 says, "Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his dead body was as good as dead, since he was 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness." The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to sin, over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. The great theme of this fourth chapter of Romans is how we get, and the word is justified, how we get justified. And all that means is how we get declared right or good or perfect in God's sight. What happens in order for God to see us without our sin? That we would be seen and declared right or righteous by God. Justification. That's the religion. You know, you go to the doctors, the hospital, and they'll trot out these long words. Apologies to those of you who are involved in the medical profession. They'll trot out these long words, and you have to go home and you have to Google it. You know, what does that mean? Well, there are words like that in Christian language, but they mean something very specific. Justification is one of them. And he says that Jesus, Paul says here, that Jesus was raised for our justifications. He wants us to truly grasp that we are declared innocent, that we're declared just by God, not because of anything we do, but simply on the basis of trust and belief in what he has done. Say there's a contradiction there, because we have to trust, but we don't actually have to do anything. We don't have to earn it. We trust, we depend on what he has done. And he cites Abraham as the great example. Abraham, because he is in the Bible, he's the archetypal man of faith. It kind of started with him, and he goes right back. Paul takes us back in this chapter to the time when God met with him and spoke to him. And Abraham acted and operated on the basis of what God told him, on the basis of the promises that God gave him. He did certain things. And it said that because he believed the promises of God, God credited that to him as righteousness, or God declared him, you could put it this way, God declared him to be just. And that was before he'd done anything else. It was just on the basis of him believing God. The mistake a lot of people made, they understood that God thought that Abraham was good and God showed him favor because he'd been circumcised. But it's not that at all. What Paul does in this chapter, if you read it carefully, it's Paul got, Abraham got circumcised, and he circumcised his family after and as a sign of his belief. It's really important that we don't think that somehow God favors us because we do stuff. It's always, and it was right from the very beginning, on the basis of faith in him. And then in verse 24, having talked about Paul, he flips it and he says that's exactly how it is with us. It's exactly how it is with us. He says that Abram's story was written for us. What was true of him is true of us. We are saved. We gain God's favor. We are declared just on exactly the same basis that Abraham was. In other words, when we trust him, when we believe him, the actions come afterwards. I'll say my word about that in a moment. In Christianity Explored on Tuesday, and we're going to come back to this, guys. We were just marveling at how wonderful this is. That it's crazily good that God deals with our sins, and it's not that we do anything. He's done it all. He's done everything, and we just have to believe that. We just believe it. It's not right, is it, that we should go free when we haven't done anything, when we don't deserve it? We just believe what he has done. It just goes against our sense of how things should believe him, how we should believe, how things should be done. It's just faith. It's just faith. And that's what struck me as I was reading this again this week on Friday. And it just wanted us to note tonight how Paul connects faith not just to the death of Jesus, but here he was raised for our justification. He was raised for our justification. How do we know that Jesus' death was sufficient and dealt with our sins? Well, he was raised. God kind of says, that's enough. Payment has been paid. I'll accept that. And it's a very, very simple illustration. Every time you go into a shop, or you buy something online, you get given one of these, don't you? I don't know if you can see it. It's just a receipt. It's just a receipt saying that you've paid. If you can see the watermark on there, it just says paid. There's nothing more to pay. You've done it. And if they question me, I'll show them this and say, look, there's the evidence. There's the proof that I paid it. And that is what the resurrection is. It's the evidence. It's the receipt that what Jesus did was sufficient. That the price for our sins was paid in full. So it says on the bottom here, paid in full. Paid. Every single bit. Isn't that good? Not because of Baker Ross. I'm talking about Jesus. Every single sin. You look back over your life. I look back over mine. And we know there's some real rubbish there, don't we? Stuff that we are so deeply ashamed of. That we've said, thought, done. Stuff we struggle with. It's all been paid for. Every single little bit. He was raised for our justification. So if you ever feel guilty, if you ever feel the consequences of sin in your life, you just go back to the resurrection. And you say, it's been paid. It's been paid in full. And have a little hallelujah moment. You know what I mean by a little hallelujah moment? A little thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. It's the most wonderful, joyful truth. And I pray that we'll never, ever lose the joy of what Jesus has done for us, what God did for us in Jesus, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And it's worth singing about. It's worth celebrating. And just before we go back to singing, I'll give you four little things that come up in this chapter, practical ways that this affects our life. In verses 2 and 4, he talks there, he says, about boasting. And he says, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. But in effect, he's saying he's got nothing to boast about. Because it was what God has done, he should be humble. That's what we should be, isn't it? Humble people. Grateful people because of what he's done for us. Verse 7 quotes from the Old Testament. It says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. You know what the word blessed means? It means happy. It's a Greek word, makarios, which means happy, blessed, joyful. Joyful people, satisfied, fulfilled, as one writer puts it. And he talks about our church. He said, may our churches, and we could say, may our church be known for having cheerful Christians. And he puts it like, who are dazzled by God's grace. May we always be dazzled by the grace of God to us in Jesus. Verse 11, so that's humble, happy. Verse 11, there's a lot of talk in some of these verses about the offspring and the promises of God. We should be hopeful people. Abraham was given his promise that it would be to him and his offspring, and the world would be blessed through his offspring, Jesus. So he was talking about being hopeful. We should be the most hopeful of people because what God is going to do. And we should also be obedient people. Verse 11 says, he received circumcision as a sign. The sign came afterwards, after his faith had been put in the promises of God. And so we should be humble people, happy people, obedient people, hope-filled people. But tonight, we're just focusing on the happy people. It's why we sing. It's why we're praising him. That's what we're about. That's what we're here for. Resurrection Day. Let's rejoice in what God has done, what he's doing, and what he will do in our lives. Let's, as individuals, as a group, be humble people, obedient people, hopeful people, as we look forward to him coming again. Let's carry on in our worship. And I don't think Kathy's here tonight, is she? No. Right. But Kathy had asked us if we could sing on a hill. There is a green hill far away. So if she's watching online or she catches up afterwards, Kathy, this one is for you. There's a green hill far away. We're going to sing The Greatest Day in History. And then we've got a new song. Tommy's asked us to learn a new song tonight. It's called Firm Foundation. It's a goodie. Tommy, thank you so much for this. So we're going to sing these three songs as a block. Then you get a chance to sit down. All right? catch your breath. And that's the time. And if any of you have got a word of testimony, I know Bill has said that he'd like to just share something tonight. If others of you have got something you'd like to encourage us with, a scripture that's meant a lot to you, or something that God has done, a verse of scripture or whatever, you can share it with us. We'll have a little time of prayer and then we'll sing two more songs at the end. So, there is a green hill far away, greatest day and firm foundation.
Outside, oh Lord, where Jesus. Christ is my firm foundation. Thank you.
I think nearly everyone here knows me. I've been coming to the chapel for many years. I have been saved by grace for over 64 years, so I've had quite a lot of Christian experience to fall back on. I would just like to tell you about something I experienced last year, which is fairly up to date. I could stand here for days and talk, but many of you know that I had a fall in August last year and broke my hip, and I was taken up to Norwich Hospital, and God was in that move. I don't know, I still haven't worked out quite what the purpose of it was, but it was a bit uncomfortable, shall we say. And I went up on the Monday, and they said, we're going to take you into surgery on the Tuesday. I said, okay. And they got everything organized, all the paperwork done, as it were. And on the Tuesday, I was being prepped for surgery. I was on the table, as it were. They usually put an epidural in my back. I was sedated, but I could still hear what was going on. And the thought went through my head, I hope they're going to put me out before they start on this job. But the sedation must have taken a bit further turn. I went and I had, I don't know if it's described as a vision, but I was in a green pasture. It was vivid green. And I was amazed. I was walking in this pasture, and I thought, this sounds like the 23rd Psalm. He will lead me in green pastures. And I looked around, couldn't see anyone. And I said, I know you're here somewhere, Jesus, but I can't see you. But thank you for loving me so much that you're here with me now. And that is the sort of thing he's done over the years. He's confirmed his never-ending love and his mercy. And I just said thank you, you know. That's all I could do, because he will carry you through lots of things that are not very pleasant, pretty uncomfortable, but with him, you're sure of coming through, and that's my saviour anyway, who I've trusted for all those years.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Bill, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, most of you probably know we launched a charity 12 years ago called Evergreen. We started off with nothing, and it really was a journey of faith and favour. God did amazing things for all that. He held us together through COVID, got us out the other side with the charity intact and strong as well. He called us to do that, and it was a bit scary at the beginning. And then over Christmas, he said, it's time to lay it down. Which walking away from a job in the middle of a financial crisis and everything else that's going on can be a bit scary. But it's like that last song said, you know, he's never failed. He'll never let you down. And all you've got to do is keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And the walk of faith and favour will continue. I'm sure of that. Yeah. Okay.
We've had a wonderful weekend, haven't we? You know, Good Friday, the Lord was with us in a wonderful way. Lots of, so many people said how much they really felt the Spirit and God speak to them in different ways through that service. That was wonderful on a spiritual sense. Yesterday then, a very different event. Just wonderful to see so many people, conversations, the blessing with the weather, you know, the chocolate and the cakes, what a blessing they were. But you know, we're about trying to get the message of Jesus out. We're about trying to break down barriers and get alongside people. And that's what I think yesterday enabled us to do. Wonderful. We want to pray for that, for the people that came in, the conversations that had that we had. And then this morning, another great crowd out, and again, humbled by just the comments that people made, and some people that are not followers of Jesus, and just comments they made. I think it would be good for us just to say thank you to the Lord, wouldn't it, at the end of all of this, you know, for the excitement, for what he's done, and to ask him to water and to see what he will then do. So shall we have 5 minutes of prayer together? Right, so the final two songs. Christ is mine forevermore. Wonderful words of confidence and reassurance. And that was Andrea's choice. Now we're going to finish up with Clifford Moring's choice. A fantastic hymn. I think nearly all, everybody loves the Hymn of Heaven. Great song to finish a great weekend with.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this weekend's celebrations of Christ, we want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit in these services. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that led our pastor in his word. Lord, as we go our way, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will move through each and every village that is represented here tonight and all the villages between, Lord. Keep us safe this week, and may we rejoice in your name every moment of the day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.